All right, here we go. Welcome, everyone. Tonight we have a special meeting for advisory board vacancies. Thank you all for coming and applying. I'll speak into the mic so our AGP guy will be thankful for that. It's Tuesday, January 29th at the Vets Hall, 6 p.m. For the record, we do have a quorum. All members are present. And if you'd please join me in a moment of silence. Thank you. At this time, if you'll join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready to begin?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So this procedure will be similar to a regular meeting. We will open it up for public comment. Tonight we have we will be going through interviews for the Planning Commission, Public Works Advisory Board, Rec and Park, and Harbor Advisory Board, and we'll announce that order in a minute. Planning Commission will be going first. Public Works Advisory Board would be second. Rec and Park would be third, and then Harbor Advisory Board will be fourth. And at this time, I'll open it up for public comment. Anybody would like to speak at this time, please come forward, state your name. You have 3 minutes.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Linda Merrill, and I live in Morro Bay for over 30 years. I would like to see planners who embrace the philosophy of our Mayor and Council Majority. We need cooperation on our boards and commissions in order to move forward with new policies. Please select people who understand and are willing to help us achieve our goals. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. At this time, public comment is still open for those of you who'd like to speak. If not, I'll close public comment and bring it back to council. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. Thank you very much. At this time, we will start with Planning Commission interviews. And as we get started, just a kind of an order in which we'll be doing that, we will each council member will have a question to ask. We'll just go kind of randomly from one side to the next, and then each applicant will respond to the question, and then we'll roll to the next question, and each applicant will reply to the same question. So if there's, you know, two applicants, however you want to look at it, you'd get one question per council member. At that time, following the questions, then we will cast our vote. We'll hand it to City Clerk Jamie Boucher. Ms. Slayton will be reading the votes, and then we'll proceed on. I think at this time we do have a couple of applicants that are absent, and I would like to, per procedures, make a motion that would basically, I'll read the motion. It's a motion that will excuse the applicants and allow them to be represented by their letter if we so choose. So I'll read the motion. If there's a second, then we'll approve it. If not, we'll discuss it from there. So the motion would be that in the absence, if the absence arises, there is an excuse under the policies. So an excuse would be allowed for an applicant to participate in the interview process, and the letter would be represented as an excuse. So that is my motion. If we want to proceed forward with that, I would need a second. Are there any? Thank you for coming. So on this, for the Planning Commission, we have two applicants, and I've got the applicants here. Ms. Winholtz, thanks for coming. We do have another one. Via is, he had an absence. He had a pre-planned trip, so he had a letter that explained that. We've already gone over that. So Jeffrey Cox is the other applicant. If anybody wants to discuss any kind of conversations that they may have had with the applicant that is not here, we could do so now. Anybody want to speak to that?
I will just briefly say that I did speak to Mr. Cox on Saturday, and I reached out and caught him I didn't realize he wasn't in town, actually, but he was not in town. He was already out. But we did have a long conversation about his skills and interests, and he is been in Morro Bay a few years, but through my discussion with him, as you could see on your applications, he did also apply for the Rec and Parks Commission, which I think he and I discussed, and we talked about maybe that's where his passion and skills were at this time, but just sharing that conversation. I think he's a great candidate for us. He's very motivated to get involved in the city. He brings a great deal of skill from his professional life, and hopefully we will be able to find some involvement for him in the city if it doesn't turn out for him here. So it may be that he's in this spot, but if not, he's very motivated. I just wanted to make that comment that I found him to be a great candidate.
All right. Thank you. I was unable to get in contact with him, so I had no contact. I don't know if anybody else wants to share that. Okay. All right. At this time, Ms. Winholz, if you'd introduce yourself advisory board.
Can I make a comment about the Planning Commission? And no offense to Ms. Winholz, but we do have one represented applicant for a very important position, and I would suggest that we postpone voting on this position until we get a chance to renotice and bring in a larger batch of candidates to vote on and to review because of the importance of the Planning Commission.
Is that a motion?
I will make that as a motion, yes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other just further discussion? Discussion?
Well, the discussion is I agree with Noah on this. This is a very important, and like I say, nothing gets Betty Winholz, but I can't imagine. This has been in the past. It's been like 7-8 candidates come up and want to be interviewed, and it seems very strange that all we had was just two. It's like, did we fail to publicize this or something? I don't know. Something's wrong here because it's amazing. I've never seen it like this before.
Okay, thanks. Christine?
I would just like a little more clarification from Noah. Do you feel like the delay time will... Could you just kind of describe a little bit more about your motion and what you...
My motion...
How long, perhaps, you wanted to keep the position open for?
I didn't get a chance to speak with the Public Services Director on this, but it is an important position to fill, so I wouldn't want to delay a re-noticing, but I think that we would need to give ourselves some time to try to get the awareness up in the community that this position's available and needed to be filled by qualified applicants, and that we set a date as soon as possible, working with the City Manager, Public Service Director, and our calendars, and we go forward from there, knowing that leaving one position vacant on the Planning Commission isn't convenient, but it is very important that we have good qualified applicants to review and vote amongst.
I have a question either for Ms. Boucher or Ms. Slayton, and that would be, what is the noticing time required, and how do we notice so that maybe we can get more applicants this time? Is there a required open period?
Yeah, to my knowledge, there isn't necessarily a required open period. The entire application process was noticed twice in the Bay News and twice in the Telegram Tribune. I think at many of the board meetings, it was announced by the department heads and or staff at those meetings. Beyond that, I mean, obviously we could notice it more. Noticing is quite expensive, but at the same time, you know, as Councilmember Smuckler says, they're really important as well. So we could try noticing it more. It was also on the website. Obviously would take any other, you know, opinion somebody may have as to what more we can do.
I mean, I don't think we've ever announced this. Well, maybe I wasn't paying attention, but I don't think we've announced the boards and commissions real clearly at our council meetings, and it might be important at our next meeting to make a plea as to.
I would just to keep this going, entertain a motion to extend the period to a specific date. If we had a discussion here, you were mentioning 30 days. If we could go through that now, I think that would be helpful.
For the sake of our applicants and the process before us, could we finish tonight with that discussion, looking at our calendars and trying to get through the logistics?
At the close of the meeting?
Yeah.
That'd be good. Thanks. We'll want to circle back at that. Okay, great. Thanks. Okay, with that, we'll move on to the Public Works Advisory Board, and that we have the same situation. So we'll have that applicant come forward. I guess we might entertain the same motion. Aaron, thanks for coming. We'll get into the introductions in a minute, and I think we already discussed the same procedures in a minute, and I'm looking across like I might get the same kind of a comment. So if the council feels as though we want to go through this similar process of extending this period for this body, I guess I would entertain that motion now. Otherwise, we can continue with the interview process. You were the one that led in the motion. Yeah.
All right. Well, I do think there's a distinct difference between the Planning Commission and the Public Works Advisory Board and its influence in the city and in the size of the Public Works Advisory Board. Personally, I'd be willing to go forward with the interview with the candidate here. I'm familiar with the candidate, but I also recognize it's important to be consistent, and it will not hamper the Public Works Advisory Board if we follow the same process with them as well. So it would be another apology to another candidate. Sorry.
So would you be making that
motion? So I will make the same motion. Sorry.
Second.
So the motion on the table is to continue, I guess you said same motion, but the motion is to continue this interview process for the Public Works Advisory Board to a date uncertain at this time. We'll follow up at the end. Okay, thanks. So any other discussion on that?
Thanks, Aaron, for showing up. That'd be nice.
Oh, I'd like to discuss.
I did notice that Mr. Oaks has also applied for Recreation and Parks, so his evening is not a total loss.
Yeah. Right. So anything?
I just want to just make a note for discussion that I do think it's important to be consistent with. If we have a single candidate in one, we need to follow the same procedure.
Thanks. I agree.
I just
have one question. Are you more favorable for the PWAB, or are you going to stick around and go through the Rec and Park interview as well? And please state your name. I know you didn't go through the interview, but Aaron, please state your name.
Sure. My name is Aaron Oaks, and I have applied for the Public Works Advisory Board and the Parks Rec Advisory Board. I will happily stick around for the Parks and Rec.
Okay, great. All right, thank you. So
Can we ask him a question?
Well,
but you don't have any preference which one you want? Would like to be on?
I don't have a preference as to each one, and because if I don't get into Parks and Rec, I could apply for Public Works at a later time, and I'm perfectly fine with the council.
Yeah, we're looking at this that we didn't have too many in that application there, and we got some more on there, so I just want to make it clear. But
thanks, George. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. Aaron, thanks. Sorry for the inconvenience, but thanks for coming out. Yeah. And at this point, we're making headway here. So we went through Planning Commission, Public Works, and now we are on to Rec and Parks. And we have four applicants at this time. And you folks can come back up. And as Nancy would say, said you, Aaron, you could have stayed. So with all the applicants for the Rec and Park, would you please come forward? Yeah, we have so thanks for that. All right. Thanks for coming out. We actually have four applicants. We have one applicant by letter, and that we'll be discussing in this process. We already went through the motion to approve that. So at this time, we have three to interview. And unless there are any other comments from council, we can go through the orientation one more time. We're all good to go here? Okay, good. At this time, we'll start out with questions. I'll just ask for introduction at first, and I'll start in the back since you're sitting by yourself, John, if you just go through introductions. And then once we get done with introductions, we'll start with questions. So, John, if you can start first.
My name is John Bates. It's probably pretty rusty at this point.
All right. Bob?
Bob gets the same. He's had this question many times from me.
Actually, it's getting better. Getting better.
I figured that you had a chance to work on it a little bit. Aaron, how about you? Can you dunk?
I'm a little too short to dunk, but my jump shot has been improving a little bit, yes.
Okay. I don't want to make light of this. This is a very important thing, but it's a fun thing, so I make it a fun thing, okay? You guys come out. I appreciate you coming out and wanting to be on this board.
Thanks, George. That's a great way to start it off. Christine, would you like to go for the next
question? Well, it's impossible to really follow that up, so I'll just move on to more boring questions. So thank you all for applying. If you could each tell me just briefly, what are you passionate about when you think about being on the Rec and Parks Commission? And we can start with Mr. Bates.
I'm passionate about being involved with everybody that's involved in the process and working hard at providing a better standard of living and outdoor enjoyment here for everybody in Morro Bay.
Bob, same question.
I'm passionate about making Morro Bay a family-oriented place where people can come, enjoy the parks, enjoy all the recreation we have available, and just make it more of a pleasant place for everybody to come and enjoy life.
Aaron?
I'm passionate about people not being bored in Morro Bay. I think it's important for people to have a good time, for people to bring their families out and enjoy themselves, and to have a diverse array of outdoor activities.
Thank you. Nancy, would you like to go next?
Sure. Let's start with Dr. Bob, since just to make stir things up a little bit here. Tell us a little bit about your background and how it fits into recreation and parks and how you see that fitting into Morro Bay.
My background. Grew up in Illinois, played out in the snow a lot, so that helps park and rec, right? was a chiropractor for 30-some years, which is kind of dealing with nature because your body is part of nature, and I loved working with that. And then I was on the parks and rec department in the city of Fountain Valley for 6-8 years. And I've always been interested in, I've never really grown up, everybody says. So I like things that kids do, take them to activity, parks, playing basketball, sports, all that. So that's why I have a great interest in this, just to make sure it stays at a level where everybody can enjoy the outdoors. And that's what I think is best. Thank you.
Well, I grew up in Santa Monica from 1984 to 1996, and basically, when I was younger, I didn't see that there was a lot of opportunities for young people to get involved in outdoor activities. In Morro Bay, it's a different story. And I think that more people can be involved in these outdoor activities, and I would do my best to promote that and to increase the amount of activity in the community for Parks and Rec.
Hello. I grew up in Morro Bay, class of 1990, Morro Bay High School. I am a landscape contractor currently, and with a heavy background in parks. I work with San Luis County Parks for about a decade. That's kind of missing parks is what kind of brought me to the commission to begin with, because I feel like I have a lot of insight with parks. And not really being able to exercise or use that, and this has been a great opportunity being a part of this board to do that.
Noah?
All right, I'll start with Aaron, and it's going to be two different question for the two returning candidates. But Aaron, as you approach one of these positions, if you had an idea that wasn't being addressed or something that you saw in the community that might be worthwhile for the commission to discuss, how would you bring that up and pursue that with your fellow commissioners and then perhaps with the council?
Well, I would talk about the importance of city-sponsored events and making sure that the whole county knows that Morro Bay has something to offer in the community. So it's not just appealing to people in the city, it's appealing to people countywide. And just to show that we are one big family, one big, you know, we are all under one big tent. And, you know, as you know, part of my public relations and marketing background, I think I would offer a more discussion about how to expand our outreach in the community as a member of the Parks and Rec Commission.
All right. And for you gentlemen, what, in your experience so far on the commission, do you see any areas where we could improve how we utilize your services?
And you know, when we get the feedback and we actually can, I feel like I'm more involved in what's really happening. And I think that's very important to maintain that level of communication and openness. And, you know, nobody feels, kind of tired or embarrassed to bring up a subject. Everybody talks about it, and, you know, we get along and say yes or no and move on. So I think it's great to have the communication open, and it's a great, I enjoy it. Thank you.
Good to hear. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Do you have a best experience in the park and rec field in Morro Bay, and what would that, and if you have, how would you bring that to other issues as far as park and rec to the commission? So if you had a really good experience, how would you be able to carry that forward and to enhance our park and rec program? And I'll start with Aaron.
Well, as far as the park and rec, you know, what I enjoyed seeing was the incorporation with Del Mar Elementary and working with the local schools and all those activities that were generated from that. And I think it's really important to keep that going, to make sure that the family spirit is alive and well in Morro Bay, to really make sure that all the families are aware in this community that they exist. And so the kids are enriched with all these unique learning experiences about our ecosystem, about our way of life. I mean, my favorite experiences with Parks and Rec are those events that are geared toward young families in Morro Bay. I think that gives us a good image in the community.
Dr. Bob?
I think great is the youth events that we put on. I think that's very important. You know, we have the basketball, the baseball, and all these events. Because, once again, the community can only grow if we keep young people coming in and growing and developing. And the youth events bring the young families in. There's something for the kids to do other than hang out in the streets and ride a bicycle down the street or get in gangs or whatever. So I think the youth events are very important, and I see that the Morro Bay is really behind that, and that's what I really appreciate. And I want to make sure we maintain that level, if not improve it even more. Thank you.
Great. John?
I've been most moved by things like public comment, volunteers coming forth and doing their presentations. The passion that comes with that has been the best for me on the commission.
Great. All right, thanks, you guys. Are there any follow-up questions from this that council wants to? Nothing? Okay. At this time, we can cast our vote, and we'll hand it down to our city clerk, and we'll go from there. So hang on a second.
Good evening. For the Recreation and Parks Advisory Commission, we have Nancy Johnson's votes, John Bates, Jeffrey Cox, Aaron Oakes, George League. Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Robert Swain. Excuse me. Apologize for that. Thank you. For George League, John Bates, Aaron Oakes, Robert Swain, Christine Johnson, John Bates, Aaron Oakes, Robert Swain, Jamie Irons, John Bates, Aaron Oakes, Robert Swain, Noah Smuckler, John Bates, Aaron Oakes, Robert Swain.
Unanimous. Okay, congratulations.
There you go, Aaron.
Thank you, guys.
You don't have to fight. You don't have to reapply.
All right. Next on the agenda, we've got. Well, welcome, everyone. If we can go through introductions at this time, maybe Lynn, you can start us off, and we'll go down and to the back and end with Tom.
My name is Lynn Meissen. I've been in Morro Bay since 1994. And I have been on the board, on the Harbor Advisory Board for the last, 6 years? Two terms. I've enjoyed it very much and would like to continue.
Thank you.
Actually, Mr. Mayor, will we go through and ask them what seat they're going to request at another question?
Sure.
Okay, great. Thank you.
My name is Jim Sanders. I own and operate California Marine and Salvage here in the Bay. I'm interested in being on the board. That's about it, I guess.
Okay, thanks. Ron?
Ron Reisner, resident of Morro Bay. I'm a marine surveyor. I've been a boat builder and marine surveyor for over 40 years.
Thank you.
Chris Anderson. I've been in the I've lived in Morro Bay for 17 years. I've had a boat in the on the mooring for 8 years. And actually, my grandmother owned the breakers. I remember this town when it had dirt roads. So I'm approaching the age of, well, I am retired, and it's time for me to volunteer for something. And I thought this would have a little meaning. A little more meaning than volunteering at the animal shelter.
Thank you.
My name's Alan Allward. I'm a resident of Cambria. I'm a director in the Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Association, and I'm here answering the call to be the primary representative of the fishermen on the Harbor Advisory Board. I rent a slip from the city, slip 39. I'm an active commercial fisherman, and I lived in Morro Bay from 1977 through 1991. Moved to Santa Barbara for a year, and then I lived in Atascadero until last a year and a half ago when I moved to Cambria.
I'm Joseph Conchelos. I'm the vice president of the Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Organization, and I own the fishing vessel Nicole Marie, homeported out of Morro Bay. I'm running for an alternate to Alan here in case he is gone fishing.
Hi, my name's Tom Hafer. I'm a resident of Atascadero for 22 years. I fish out of Morro Bay for been fishing out of Morro Bay for 22 years. I have the boat, the Catherine H. I'm the president of the Morro Bay Fishing Organization, and I'm running. Well, I'm not running, we're not running against each other. We're Alan's going to be the primary. Me and Joe are going to be the alternates because we all have different fisheries, and one will be here and one won't be here, or two might be gone and one might be here. But so there'll be three of us applying for the spot for the commercial fishing part of the Harbor Advisory Board.
Okay. Sounds like you've worked that out.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay. So we've got everybody. Yeah. So just to go down the list, we have Gene Dowdy that is in here. He's got a letter. He's absent. I think we've got all that. Tom Pauly has not. He withdrew, and then so Jim Sanders. I couldn't hear your name, so that would be you, okay? And that accounts for everybody. So did you have any more questions, Noah, on kind of the spots? I know we have our fishermen that kind of worked out how that is. Would any of you like to speak to which area is of your interest that you're applying for? We have some that we have positions that are at large, and we have our fishermen back here that are organized and ready to go. And maybe, Mr. Sanders, you can explain which one that you're interested in, what slot.
I believe it's the at-large position. Okay. I own and operate a business in the Bay, but I believe that position is filled, so I'm going for the at-large position.
Mr. Reisner?
Same.
Okay. Creative discussion amongst the board to look for the arrangement that you guys are presenting right now, and that was having alternates. So you have one primary member, and if one or two are away, then we could at least fill a commercial fisherman seat if one or two fishermen were out. Because as explained, I think what you were explaining, Tom, was that you all operate different fisheries. So that would allow us to have some coverage on our advisory board.
Yeah,
with this arrangement.
So how we vote for, like, we vote for Joe, we're actually voting for all three?
So, yeah, thank you for that. So when we go around for asking questions, we'll ask the same questions as we did previously. Same one question, and you all go around and answer that question. And, of course, all three of you will answer the same question as well. Are you square on that? I mean,
is anybody else confused?
I'm not confused by that part, but I would like some clarification on the seats that are open. If our clerk could update us on this, we got a couple of different emails. As I understand, we have one seat, which could include the alternates for the fishing. We have two seats for at large. And then I was confused whether we had one for the South Bay and Los Osos.
Yes, one for South Bay, Los Osos.
Okay. And so the marine-oriented business is already filled.
It's filled, yes, with Mr. Luffy.
Okay.
Okay. Question, Christine?
Thanks for entertaining one more process question. I was wondering, I know we've been asking the same question to all of the applicants. I might have a little different question to ask the commercial fishing gentleman, just simply because it might be a different, because of the alternate nature
sure,
of it,
absolutely.
It might be a little bit different.
Yeah.
My question might be a little different for them. But if we're
flexible.
I'm not sure if we are or not. So I wanted to give you all a chance to say no. It should be one question for all, or if there would be any flexibility.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point, because I think we have three people that are working together on that. Any other comments on that? Okay. Okay. George, you okay with that?
I'm okay with that.
Okay. So if we're all ready to go, Nancy, if you'd lead us off on the first question, maybe we can start with Mr. Reisner on the end and then work around.
Mr. Reisner, you seem to have an excellent background in building boats and things like that. What do you think about our little bay here in Morro Bay and the condition of our bay?
Both. Are you talking about the water or the infrastructure?
Both, please.
I have no opinion about the quality of the water because I haven't studied it and I have no particular expertise, and it's what I know is anecdotal, so I'm a fact-based guy. In terms of the infrastructure, it is the waterfront and the harbor are one of the principal engines of Morro Bay in terms of both community and commerce. And I think that there are going to be some infrastructure challenges in the future on the basis of revenue and the fact that it's a this particular kind of infrastructure is unique and expensive to maintain and to keep it safe as well.
Thank you, and I would have the same question for the other two at-large folks. So what do you feel about our bay, its infrastructure, and its water quality, et cetera?
As far as the infrastructure of the bay, I know that we have a great harbor patrol office. They do a great job patrolling and being involved in everything. And I think there's a lot of great things in the bay. As far as the water quality, I'm actually in the water quite a bit. You know, I don't know a lot of technical things about the water, but it's something I'd like to look into. I mean, it's, you know, before I give an answer on what I think the quality of the water it is to work in, it's fine. I don't know as far as any pollutants or anything like that, but.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ms. Meissen?
You're doing just fine.
You're doing great.
Regarding water quality, I think it's generally pretty good, and if you look at, what is it, Slow Seed, Dean Wendt's website, or the things he's doing, you can get reports on it, bacteria counts and that kind of thing. And in general, it's very good. Obviously, it could always be better. There will probably be some improvement, we would hope, when Los Osos finally gets its sewer system, if indeed that is a source of pollution for our bay. The other source of pollution, or at least one that people vary.
Oh, excuse me.
I'm
not a fisherman.
Oh, you're
I'm
an
Chris
at-large.
Anderson.
I'm sorry, I got confused.
I'm a guy who gets a big smile on his boat, on his face, when he goes out to his boat and can actually see his prop. I've been able to do that a lot lately because we've had no rain, which is the major source of pollution and will be runoff. I don't see my prop for a week after a good rain. Of course, it's been so long. So water quality will come up and be an issue once we start generating some precipitation. And as for what the infrastructure, this man in front of me was right. It is expensive to maintain. But I think we should look first to limiting our liability in this area. I don't think letting tourists run around on the fishermen's docks. I don't think the chain and the sign will be adequate. And as for some of the electricals, we're kind of shaky there. And I would love to see a boatyard here. I would really love to participate in the construction of that. That's it.
Thank you very much. I apologize for the confusion. All right, now our fishermen. Could you describe to us about what it's like to be a fisherman in Morro Bay and where you think your industry is going?
Fishermen in Morro Bay, well, it's changed a lot in the last 10 years. With all the new restrictions that we have to abide by. But I'm from San Diego originally, and I was born and raised there. And I fished commercially down there before I came here. And there was a lot of people doing the same thing I was doing. But when I moved up here and I started fishing up here, there's a lot less boats on the water. There's a lot less fishermen. So that was surprising to me. And fishing was a lot better than in San Diego. But fishing in Morro Bay for me has been really good. I've brought up a family that we all live in Atascadero. And fishing has really helped in my experience of being a commercial fisherman, because it's a tough way of life, but you could make it work if you just grit and bear it and weather the storms and weather the rules and the regulations and just try your best. And it has worked for me, and it has worked a lot for a lot of other people that I know.
Fishing out of Morro Bay is interesting. We have a lot of weather. This patch of water that we have out here is it gets interesting. There's something that happens here where you can go north 100 miles and it'll be nice. You can go south 100 miles and it'll be nice. Right in here, it gets pretty nasty quite often. It's like Tom said, we do have a lot of restrictions. However, fishermen are very good at adapting, and that's shown. We have an economic report that's put out. We pay for it with the Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Organization, and it shows that our industry is rebounding from the big hit that we took in the early to mid 2000s, and we just keep going up and up and up and up and up. So I think that we have a great future fishing out of Morro Bay for a long time to come.
I love commercial fishing. It's something I wouldn't want to have to give up. There's nothing that compares with that feeling when you're leaving the harbor and you're running your own boat and everything's going right. It's not always that way, but when the feeling's there, it's really great. I feel that fishing is here to stay. I have a friend who, and he was telling me about an old fisherman that told him a guy will always be able to make a living on the water fishing, and there's no reason why that can't be true. So I'm optimistic.
Perspective, you're part of our eyes and ears in the community, and your contact information will be posted on the website and, you know, within your organization. So if someone contacts you, whether you agree with what they're saying or not, how would you actually receive that and then work with that that request or the contact?
Now you're talking about a fisherman contacting me, is that right, or the general
yeah,
public?
Yeah, for you guys, yeah, I think it's fair to say that's your focus.
Okay. Well, the fishermen are a pretty talkative group, stand around on the docks and a lot gets said, and we all disagree on everything, so I would say that, you know, really we are an extremely diverse group of people, and you know, we accommodate each other and try to reach a consensus where possible. So yeah, I think all of us here would be willing to listen and, you know, pass on anything we heard that was appropriate. Does that cover it?
I'd have to agree with Alan there. You know, already being directors or officers in the organization, we're approached quite often in our industry by the local fishermen asking questions, asking what's going on. You receive it, you give them information to the best of your knowledge. A lot of times I'll call around to people who might know a little bit more than me and try to answer, and I'll try to bring whatever I can to the board in the interest of the commercial fishermen. See what we can get going there.
Sometimes people don't agree or don't really know the public, as you were saying, don't know about fishing. They hear things you know, from the paper, from the aquarium, from different outlets they listen to about there's no fish left in the ocean. Is there any fish left in the ocean? So I have a lot of experience with that, working with a lot of environmentalists over the years that I've been involved with. And basically what I do is I just listen to what they have to say, and I don't always agree with what they have to say, but I try to keep friendly, for one, and as is possible, and explain to them really what is going on out on the water and what I see on the water. And because a lot of these people that ask us questions, they're not really out there, and so they don't see what's going on. So we're probably pretty good people to ask really what's going on out there and what we're catching, and how is the overall health of the ocean. So, because I get a lot of questions from people that really don't know about fishing, but they hear things, which is, you know, not true very often.
Okay. So for the rest of the candidates, should I restate the question, or you still have it? Feeling good?
How we would deal with the public if they approach us on a particular question?
Yeah, I could add a second component to that now. How would you work with our staff? Because as a representative, you have better access to our staff than others. And, you know, what would that relationship be like?
Regarding working with the public, I have had people approach me, even on the street, and make a comment as to some topic that was discussed on the board, or make a suggestion, which I then at one point brought back to the Harbor Advisory Board, and we talked about it. Not at length, it didn't become a motion, but it was a potential. I don't remember what the question was. What that question of discussion was. I remember the incident, but I don't remember what the topic was. Regarding working with staff, we have very open relationships, and I can approach anyone on the harbor, in the Harbor Patrol office, if I need to have some clarification, if I need some discussion with, whether it's Eric or Polly or whoever is in that office. I've always felt very welcome, and they've been very generous with their time. So I think communications are very good.
I think communication is very important. I remember being when my kids were at Del Mar, I was the president of the PTA there, and it was amazing how many people wanted to come up and talk about things and had ideas. And I always think it's great to listen to what people have to say. I think that's important. I think working with the Harbor Patrol and the people.
I think if an individual Harbor Advisory Board member is asked a question, I think, not having had the experience, but my instincts and Max tell me that it's probably a good idea not to express an opinion. If they want information, then should be a conduit for information, either directly or directing them to another source. So everybody needs information. It's I think that's an essential foundation of freedom, actually. Insofar as the staff is concerned, it's not just the Harbor Department, it's also the city staff as well. And I've had quite a bit of communication with the Harbor folks and with the city over a variety of things. I've never had a bad experience. I may not have gotten exactly what I wanted, but that was probably my problem, not their problem. I think that I think the advisory board needs to pay close attention to what the Harbor Department folks say that they need and what they're experiencing with their with the areas that they're responsible for.
To repeat that question again.
So as a member of the board, you become a representative of the public, and as Ron just said, of the city. It's a two-way street. How would you receive information or requests or comments from the public
And then as the second part, what would you picture your relationship would be like with the city staff?
I would say all questions are valid, and I would research it. And when I get back to you, I would give my input on what that person said. If someone complained to me the other day that there were tourists down on the dock taking pictures in the fisherman's dock, and they tripped and fell down. And I would relay, they tell me that, I would come back to you and say, we might have a liability problem here. And then it would be the ball's to you. So basically, I'm just to not judge, just relay and research so I can give you additional information on what the question was. That's all.
Then just the final part of that was how would you see your relationship with the city staff?
I don't know. I don't know the city staff personally. Seem like nice enough people. And I don't know, you know, exactly what this job entails or anything. So I don't know. I know George. I met George and he was Randon, but the rest of you I haven't had too much contact with. So have to play that one by ear and see how it goes. You know, you can always fire me. I'm only a volunteer.
Thanks, Mr. Anderson.
All right, thank you very much. And my question is about decision making. A large part of serving on the any advisory board are making decisions. So you'll have agenda items every meeting, and you'll vote, you know, yay or nay on those. So for those of you who are not in the commercial fishermen, this is just a straightforward question about how you make decisions, or how you walk us through that process. And then for the commercial fishermen, because there'll be one role. Well, one seat and then three people coming and going potentially from that role, there will be a little more, I think, homework for you. Most of the others will know their meeting is coming up, and you may or may not be consistently coming to, you know, you may not be the person at every meeting for 3 months, and then all of a sudden it'll be your turn. So for you all, you'll have to kind of go through the decision-making process, like, you know, homeschool, and then be ready to go if it is all of a sudden your turn to come up. So kind of like, how would you make those decisions by staying, how would you stay current in what's happening if you're gone for a few months to come back and be a cohesive part of the board so there isn't like too much catch-up, let's just say. So basic decision, tell us how you make decisions, and then how for the fishermen, how you make a decision when you might not be the one consistently coming to the meeting. I hope that's clear. And we'll start. I'll take a volunteer to begin, and then we'll go from there. Okay, Tom, thanks.
What's good about the three of us here, we all sit on the same board for the Morro Bay Fishing Organization. Alan and I are neighbors, and we have boats together, and Jim does too. We're all in the same dock. And we all talk about, you know, whatever, you know, we try to make the best decision as possible for everyone.
Great. No? Okay. That's perfect. Thank you. Okay. Joe, did you want to go next?
Well, we all have contact, us three. We have contact with each other very regularly. Through emails, through cell phones, even through satellite phone if need be. So we can be up to date. Like Tom said, I think it'd be a good idea for one of us, if the other one is going to be gone, to come in and sit on the meeting beforehand, get caught up, look at the person who's been sitting on the chair's notes for that however long they've been sitting there, get up to speed, get everything fresh in your mind. And then, like Tom said, we try to make the best decision for everybody involved, everybody as a whole.
Great, thank you. Ellen?
I was impressed with the Rotary's motto, where they said that when they were trying to make a decision, and I can't remember the exact wording, but it was to the effect that, you know, a decision had to be good for everyone. So I thought that was pretty good. And then I have a civil engineering degree from Cal Poly, and in one of our classes, we was decision making on a project, and they came up, they had introduced me to this concept of this weighted decision, where you take the different aspects of a decision and you give each aspect a value as to how important it relates to the whole decision, and then you assign it a value, and you add up its value multiplied times its of importance, and then you kind of arrive at a mathematical answer, which sounds crazy, but it actually works pretty good on a complex decision when you got a lot of aspects to go through.
That's great. Can I borrow that?
Yeah.
Some people may say need to borrow
that. There's another thing that I've heard that was the dazzle them with brilliance or baffle them with something else.
Great. That's wonderful. Oh, gosh. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Anderson.
I'm not the fisherman. What was the question again?
Oh,
how
certainly.
Would we interact with
the four of us together? No, that's okay. Well, you don't have to interact with them if you don't want to. You're off the hook. You're just having to sit there with them today.
I thought they were does the Harbor Advisory Board, doesn't they meet by themselves?
Yes. What's a unique? The reason we're having this sort of dual interview is because this is the first year that, in order to encourage more commercial fishermen to participate in the Harbor Advisory Board, we've created a schedule where they can have one seat, and then if they're gone fishing for, say, 4 months, then they can have an alternate. So the three gentlemen next to you are all actually going to have one seat. Only one of them will be there at a time. And so they're just a little bit different how they're going to balance that out. So they're a little bit unique to that. But as far as for you, for your at-large seat, you can just, really just a one-part question about if you want to just talk a little bit about how you make decisions. That'll be a large part of the Harbor Advisory Board meetings.
Research is basically and communication. Assuming the Harbor Advisory Board meets and will meet to discuss certain issues. Definitely what is right, what is safe, what generates revenue would be basically our three concerns.
Okay, great. Thank you. Ron?
There's no question that a weighted decision matrix is a powerful tool. Totally correct. But it requires data. And I think that the best decisions and my life experience, especially as it relates to an enterprise, the best decision is the best informed decision. So I think it's incumbent upon every member of an advisory board, in this case the Harbor Advisory Board, to make sure that they have participated and demand from themselves and from the rest of the participants all the information that's practically available. On the other hand, you can't dither forever, so decisions do need to be made, but the other element of it is consensus. You don't get anywhere if you just hold out all the time. So there's going to have to be some give and take, and I'm hopeful that the council relies and values the advice and the recommendations of this board. So I'm sure that the value of that recommendation and advice would be more important to you or more valued if you felt that there was consensus.
Motion. We discussed the motion, and seven different people bring different perspectives to that. From each of those perspectives, many of them are very similar, but some of them might be quite different. And then I guess you have to think of justice as the final arbitrator.
Well, you were the perfect closing comment on decision making. Thanks, everyone. Thank you.
George?
Well, I want to tell you right now, I think this Harbor Advisory Board is very, very important to Morro Bay. It's one of the top ones. And it's kind of nice to see that the concern that even the chair comes out here and listens to who's going to be nominated to his board. And I think if I wasn't city councilman, I'd be asking to be on this board, because I really think it is very necessary and it does some good work. I would like to ask you about a million questions, but this isn't going to happen. So I'm going to try to do something here. We have to share this bay with commercial fishermen and also the recreation. Now, Judith, maybe you could lead off with what kind of recreation that we do not have on the bay right now could enhance and maybe help the Morro Bay as far as the business people, and also just flat good entertainment for the tourists that come here.
You want Lynn to start off?
Judy.
Do you want Lynn to start off?
Lynn, oh.
That's okay. I'm Judith Lynn. I answer either way.
Oh, excuse me.
What water recreation do we not have on the bay right now that would be of benefit?
Well, you could also say the ones that's on there, they could be improved, you know, maybe more of.
Okay. As far as what we don't have, I can't think of very many. We have people who go fishing, they go kayaking, they go stand-up paddling, they go sailing, they go motorboating. They do some swimming, although not very much of that. Certainly a lot of surfing, and wow, what a great recreational place. I'm sorry, George, I cannot tell you which of those.
Do you agree that this should be enhanced, that we do have a lot of recreation on the bay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, the main reason that we have a town here is because of this bay, mostly for the fishermen. Thank you very much, gentlemen. But the recreational part is certainly becoming more and more important, since we are now very much dependent on the tourist dollar for the major part of our income. We need to promote all kinds of activities, which we do a pretty good job of, I think.
Very good. Just go right on down line there.
I think we have a great mix of fishing industry, recreational boating, all the tourism things that are going on. I think it's there's a lot of great stuff going on here. One of the things that we do offer here is access to the ocean. You know, you can put a boat out at Avila. You can launch a boat up in Cambria. There's a small ramp there. But really, as far as Morro Bay, what we offer is access to the ocean. I think there's a lot of great things going on here now. I think a lot of things could be enhanced and made more open to the public, to the tourists coming in. I think... If I was going to say there was something lacking, I couldn't pick one thing. I think there's a lot of things represented on the bay, and I would say I can't think of something that's not represented, to be honest with you. But I think there's a lot of great things that are going on here and could be enhanced.
Okay. Ron, I guess you build a lot of boats. And by the way, can you build me a bow picker?
Absolutely.
I love bow pickers.
Absolutely. What are you going to do with it? But anyway, that's another conversation.
Sail? No, you don't. Sail on a bow picker.
That's a really interesting question, not the boat building part, your fundamental question. That's a really interesting ponder.
No, it's you're doing well. I mean, I just was throwing this question out here to let you understand that this is very important to our bay, And if you had any ideas to enhance it better, well, fine. But it, I agree, it's pretty nice the way it is. Christopher?
I don't think Morro Bay has explored the concept maybe of kiteboard racing. It'll be a very interesting course, and I don't know if you want to build it on as the professional like Huntington Beach does a surf contest, but something with prize money and entry fees sounds like it could attract attention. We seem to have enough small tour boats on the water. I imagine it is a kind of a case of frustration, but that may be just personal because my skiff keeps disappearing. But when I first brought my boat here, it was hard to get back and forth to land, and I think we should be more accommodating to the transients. And I don't know what the opposition here has been to a water taxi, and if I'm way out of line on that one, sorry. Just a couple thoughts off the top of my head. Hey, you're throwing them. I'm trying to catch them.
Okay. All right, now we'll go to the old men of the sea over there. Well, Joe, you're not too old. But you'll be surprised how fast you get there. I want to ask you a question. We'll just start with Alan over there, work on to the right. I'm sure you are very familiar with Measure D. And it seems like to me that commercial fishermen have been squeezed out down on that into the area which was supposed to be protected for them. And we've seen all kinds of different things go in down there that has nothing to do with fishing. How do you feel about what's going on down there, and what do you think should be done about it?
Well, I'm going to have to cop a plea on that because I'm not that familiar with Measure D. I have a vague idea of what it was supposed to do and what actually happened, but I was out of town during a lot of the period that developed and not living in Morro Bay. I'm not really up to speed on that. I know there's been some controversy amongst the fishermen about the kayak place that's renting kayaks there right where we unload, and he was allowed in there because he had he said he rented kayaks for fishing, and as a lot of the guys pointed out, they've never seen anybody fishing off a kayak, you know, that he's rented, and it seemed kind of a poor mix because I have a really large boat, and when I get in there under that hoist at the North Tee Pier and I try to back out of there, I have one chance. And if anything goes wrong, I'll end up sideways smashed against either the end of the pier or the party boats that are in those docks there. And then to have the kayaks in there, you know, zooming around right there, it seems like a bad mix to me. And that's about all I can speak to that, is that from personal experience. I think that particular thing, and I know there's some provision they were going to move that somewhere else, but he's still there now under some kind of a temporary agreement, I guess. But I can see a deal where, you know, there is real interference that could lead to trouble.
Well, to bring a little familiarizer in Measure D is, if several years ago, and there was a Measure D passed that was to protect that area for commercial fishing. I mean, there was a few places down there, including a couple of mine, that were grandfathered in, but there was not supposed to be any more development down there whatsoever that was not associated with commercial fishing. So everybody knows it's been abused very badly, and fishermen seemed like there's where fishing boats could be tied up, there is sport boats, sailboats, whatever. What do you think about it, Joe?
To my understanding, Measure D was for commercial fishing and vessels for hire. To that, we already to get a slip. That's something I would really have to think on, George, and get back to you on.
Well, I just want to know if you want to be more enforced for the fishermen or not.
Absolutely.
Okay. Same question.
Well, like Joe says, it's a real sticky subject, the Measure D. So, I mean, I've always thought about, I mean, we have GAFCO, which is grandfathered in, restaurant's been there forever, Harborhead's been there forever, Verge's, which isn't Verge's anymore, Darby used to own, is now a kayak shop, and he sells kayaks and he sells paddleboards, and he's built some real nice slips there for boats, the guy that's running that place now. And they do launch right by the ice house. So that's a problem. And it's a problem like I've had before with the people paddleboarding behind me and giving lessons paddleboarding right where Morro Bay Fish is. I think maybe that guy that owns that area and that paddleboard and the kayak place should be told that maybe he needs to keep that business over away from the ice house, maybe to the first finger, so there's not a lot of traffic over there where we pull out and pull into the docks, because that's the most complaints I've heard lately about that. I mean, it's all well and good that guy has a kayak shop there and it is Measure D and it's not supposed to be there, but you know, that guy's willing to work with us enough, I think, that he can make some different arrangements through there, right there, you know, maybe put some more signs up or maybe the Harvard Department needs to get on him a little bit about it. And to improve, to get to the point where, you know, Measure D is a good thing for commercial fishing. And I think it would be a better thing for commercial fishing if somehow we could get a boatyard put in where some of those abandoned vessels that are against the pier and aren't going to be sailing away forever and ever are just going to be sitting there on the North T Pier could get them out of the water, because that's more of a problem, I think, all the sailboats on the North T Pier and just the boats that aren't commercial fishing boats. And maybe some of the old commercial fishing boats that are on the South T Pier could be moved out with the travel lift and put somewhere instead of the big expense of the harbor tearing them all apart, the boat ramp. I mean, there's a lot of things that the boatyard would solve, plus a storage for small boats. We could probably fit that into the area where we're thinking about the boatyard. And more improvements, like more recreation, like I was, you know, maybe the Verges, the new Verges sport fishing dock and shop, you know, that where she wants to put it, maybe that's a good idea. That would bring a little bit more sport into Morro Bay, sport fishing. It looks like it's going to be a real nice place. I know the harbor put a buoy out there, and the guys looked at it, and everybody was pretty much good with it, where the corner of the building was going to be, that would be the southeast corner. So, you know, maybe improve the docks a little bit. And there's a lot of little things you could do to make it a nicer place for everyone, you know. Overall, I think.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, George. You didn't stump all of them, though. Nothing. That was a tough question. Thanks. So I think we all agree the importance of the board, and actually part of the concern and the importance of the board was just having the diversity and the makeup of it, and probably more so on this board than any other, which led to, you know, the option of having the commercial fishermen in the mode you're applying right now, having the alternates, and you guys have already worked that out. But my question has to do with, because there is a diverse makeup, you all bring some expertise or some specialty. So the question I have is,
let's see, my specialty is, you know, we do the moorings on the bay. We maintain the moorings and change the chain and everything on those. I have a slip and a mooring. So I feel, as far as the ocean part, I'm pretty good at knowledge on that. But like Lynn says, the lease is along the Embarcadero and things. I'd say that's my least knowledgeable thing.
Thank you.
A prior question already identified mine, and that's, quote, water quality, unquote. Clearly we need to study up on that.
Thank you. Mr. Anderson.
I really don't understand the business of how Morro Bay is run. It's kind of like spread around in different areas, and different people control different things. And now that you're the mayor, Mr. Irons, this thing is now in a state of flux, and there seems to be a changing of the guard here, and it'll be interesting to see which way it changes. But no, I don't have good business sense. I lack a certain amount of greed to my life. I'm kind of done with getting things, and I kind of have what I need, and so some business decisions completely confuse me.
All right, thank you. How about you, Alan?
Well, let's see. Start with my strengths. I was a yacht guy before I became a fisherman, so I've spent a lot of years with a sailboat here in Morro Bay. I used to take my little skiff back down to Shark Inlet all around the bay, take my sailboat all the way back down the channel as far as almost to Baywood. And then I got involved more and more in commercial fishing and sold my sailboat. And now I have a sailing commercial fishing boat that's never sailed, working on that. So I have some sympathy with liveaboards, yachters, and I am, of course, well up on commercial fishing. And I have the engineering thing. I don't know anything about getting something through the Coastal Commission or what's possible. That baffles me. That seems like, you know, you come up with an idea to do something. Like I was talking with Chuck on M&M Refrigeration, and he was telling me how hard it was for him to replace one piling because of the eelgrass, and I just couldn't help thinking, how do you do something if there's so many things preventing you from, you know. But anyway, that's my weakness, is I don't know what's possible.
Great answer, Alan. Thanks.
My strengths would have to be in the commercial fishing and really recreation too. I love going fishing with a fishing pole off the piers, off the rocks. I surf, I swim, I do all sorts of things that are associated around the water and in the harbor. My weakness, I'd probably have to say the technical things that go along with the water quality as well. I can tell you if it's dirty, if it's clean, if it stinks, if it makes me sick, but I don't really understand all that goes into it. And I'd really like to learn that.
All right, thanks.
My strengths would be, I think, I've been fishing a long time, that's for sure, but I've also been experienced in talking to a lot of people about different things in the fishing world. I was a stakeholder on the MLPA for 2.5 years, and that was the MLPA getting that situated, and I've been attending fishing game meetings forever, trying to get things passed and stopped. So I have a lot of experience in just dealing with the part of it where a lot of other people don't like to get involved in the fishing part of it. My weaknesses would probably be city financial business. I'm not too involved in that. I understand my finances, but that's about as much as I want to understand. And the water quality thing is probably be a good thing that I really don't know about. I know the water's clean, just like the gentleman said, and it's dirty after it rains, and we do have a lot of runoff. So that'd probably be pretty interesting to find out how it affects all the sea life in the bay. And right now it's really healthy, maybe because we haven't had any rain for a year or something, you know. We need to maybe do something about that. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. Are there any follow-up questions that need to be asked? We've got four slots. One of them is the commercial fisherman slot, so which includes all three.
Let's say, for instance,
can't you hear me anyway? This slot gets confused on this. I think I got it, but I'm going to make sure I'm not confused. Let's say that we vote for Joe and Tom. Okay. Well, I'm just saying. I just said Joe and Tom. I'm leaving Alan out for a moment. Joe and Tom, do they vote for one vote for them? There are two alternates. Then if you voted for Alan, he'd be separate.
What I heard was Alan was they'd come forward as a unit, yeah, that had been nominated by the organization, and Alan was nominated to be the full rep, the standard seat, and then we had Joe and Tom as his backup, and they would work it amongst themselves. So I think we don't need to even worry about those
exactly
components.
Well, in other words, but we don't always, maybe we don't want to waste a vote. So if you voted for Joe or you voted for Tom, you're actually voting for Joe and Tom. Yes. And you don't have to
and
vote.
Alan.
Think of it as a three-headed seat.
Yeah. Maybe they could sit together on each other, and then one.
Maybe
Jamie's going to explain it to us. Right.
We're getting some staff support here.
Yay!
If we want a commercial fishing component, we have the choice of three people. And if you want to elaborate on that,
that's accurate. What Susan and I were maybe just talking about is because what looked like. What we're going to be doing is appointing based on the category. What if we voted on the category separately? We voted for the fishermen. You could appoint one as the primary, the other two as alternates. Then your fishermen are done. Then you can go for the Los Osos South Bay. You can vote for that. Boom, that one is done or not.
Okay.
And then you can vote for your members at large, and then it might take some of the crazy voting aspects out of it.
Okay, so let's start with
how do we mark our ballot then?
Yeah, that's how you mark the ballot.
Maybe.
So we can get it back, right? We'll just mark it, and then you can just hand it back to us.
Can I say, though, to respect what I think the commercial fishermen brought forward as a suggestion of how they were going to structure it based on probably a conversation about who's more available and who's ready to be the primary.
We get that.
And that was Alan, so I think we probably could just approve that by voice vote, or but a formal votes. I mean, I'm suggesting we shouldn't start to try to dictate to them who's their primary and who's their alternate when seems to me like you guys have already taken care of that, and you're suggesting it based on who is available and who's might be a little less. So
if you're voting for two alternates and one fisher, one and two, you could vote for all three. Thank you. So we're going to do that first, then we're going to come back for the rest of the board, right?
We're going to do the fishermen first.
By voting for all three, does that mean that we only got one more vote?
No.
You still have two votes, right?
Okay,
you'll explain that after this.
I think before we...
Clarification?
Yes.
So everybody's talking, so maybe we can... Christine, you got one.
I believe for clarification purposes, if we look at the bylaws for the Harbor Advisory Board that have been amended recently by the Harbor Advisory Board and by the City Council, I think we should, in our voting, use a paper ballot. We have extras. Okay. And I like the staff suggestion of voting once for the Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Association seat, identifying what we've heard from the applicants. The primary seat is Alan. The two alternates are Joseph. I don't know if everybody calls you Joseph, but your mother, Joe, sorry, and Tom. And then I think we pass that in. I think we should formalize that that's our okay. one representative seat, if we're amenable to that.
So this equals one seat.
Joe and Tom equal one seat.
All three of them equal one seat.
Oh, I keep thinking that Alan's
vote for all three.
Permanent, yeah.
Well, I guess he is making a permanent appointment.
So what? Like. So they if you were voting for the fishermen, they'd all just have one vote.
Yes.
All three of them.
Yep.
They vote one.
We have to take care of some formalities here.
Yeah, this is a formality.
So that leaves us with three votes.
Yes.
Yes. So you're going to give us our paper back, or do we start with our other paper?
That's okay, so we're both for one.
Yeah.
No, I sort of will get one. So we have one extra.
I have one extra. I have one.
And we could fill that. If you want to just give me mine back, I'll just use the same one. But that's okay.
This is for George Lake. Correct. Thank you. Joe Cancellos for an alternate. Tom Haffer for an alternate. Jamie Irons. Alan Allward, primary. Joe Cancellos, alternate. Tom Haffer, alternate. Nancy Johnson. Alan Allward, primary. Joe Cancellos, alternate. Tom Haffer, alternate. Noah Smuckler, Alan Allward, prime, Joe Cancellos, alternate, Tom Haffer, alternate, and Christine Johnson, Alan Allward, primary, Joe Cancellos, alternate, Tom Haffer, alternate.
Great. Thank you, guys. All right. No, you have a question?
Yes, a quick question. For the categories, we have a representative of the South Bay Los Osos as one of the empty categories. And I know of one candidate who's reapplying, Mr. Gene Dowdy, who qualifies for that position. And I'd like to ask our other candidates here, that's a South Bay Los Osos rep. Are any of you in the position to be able to qualify for that? I want to confirm that or not.
Yeah, good question.
I am not. My slip is on this side of the thing. My voice is on the other.
Microphone, please.
Thanks. I have a slip on this end of the bay. My mooring is on that end of the bay, and I actually work in the entire bay. So I may or may not qualify for that. I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah,
if that seat is meant for someone who lives in the area and or represents the interests of that area, that would not be me.
Thank you, Ron. Mr. Anderson?
That would not be me either.
Thank you. We don't have to ask you guys. Thanks.
Could we ask Eric for a definition of that position according to the bylaws?
Who made all these rules?
Sure, thank you, and good evening. And the bylaws don't mention, they don't really have definitions, it just has the categories. The bylaws do say we're supposed to have four members that are electors, qualified electors of the City of Morro Bay amongst the seven, although I guess we have 10 now, or nine, I mean. So as long as we hit that four tab, we're okay. But as far as the South Bay Los Osos, no definitions, no qualifications. It's just representative of that sector of the community.
And I was, again, follow up. And by representative, do you mean resident of, is that what that means? Just since we're discussing it.
Come on, Eric. I know we're putting you on the spot now.
I mean, you could infer that in that we're looking, you know, the representation for the rest of the board. We want four people that live within the town. I could infer that, or use that as an inference, that the South Bay Los Osos, the importance of defining that seat and why we want it, because, you know, a large part of our water and our bay and our watershed is reliant on Los Osos and South Bay and Cuesta and everything that happens down there. So I would think that it would be important for somebody to be a resident, just like we're looking for residents of Morro Bay to be representative of this area because they have the expertise because they are there all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
No, thanks.
Any other questions this way? Okay.
So then I think Nancy's got a good question for us to clarify. Next is we have one applicant who is absent, but also the only applicant that is representing the South Bay or Los Osos area. Is that true?
That's correct. Former, actually current, advisory board member.
Right. Who has a legitimate vacation.
Which is what we clarified at the beginning of the meeting.
Okay. So we would need to vote him as well today if we're going to
what we've done in the interviews.
Him.
We've interviewed everyone here. I mean, what we're discussing is the seat for the South Bay and Los Osos area. Gene Dowdy is the one that's applied for that. The only applicant for that seat, he submitted his letter of absence that we made a motion to accept, you know, all of those letters at the beginning of the meeting. So he would be eligible to be voted for in that current capacity. Does that help?
Yes, and he has another really necessary board, and there are other activities to be involved with in the city. So I just always like to make a plug for thanking people for coming out to go through this somewhat arduous process. And then hopefully sticking with us in some other capacity.
Thanks.
And just in addition to that, if any of you who are not selected tonight are especially interested in learning more about Measure D or leases along the bay, you may want to apply for Planning Commission. It's a very interesting group to be part of. So PWAB or Planning are still open, and we'd love to have you because I think you're all wonderful.
Thanks. Thank you. Anybody else?
Jeff
out. Yeah.
Yeah, we got Mike.
We're ready. Okay.
As long as the South Bay member is indicated that is that person you're voting for, and you're saying that it's a South Bay member, mm-hmm. and that the other two are at large.
Okay. So thanks for coming out tonight. I think it was said a little bit arduous, but actually we got through a little learning curve with our commercial fishermen. Thank you for agreeing to link up in a team and do that. It's been important for the board that we have that aspect and your expertise, so thanks. And everyone else that came out tonight, we surely appreciate you taking the time and coming out here and introducing yourself, and we hope to see you again. If you don't make it through this process, please don't hesitate to come back.
All right. Okay, for the Harbor Advisory Board, Christine Johnson's votes. Gene Dowdy, South Bay Los Osos. Lynn Meissen. For member at large, and Ron Reiser, member at large. For Nancy Johnson, Gene Dowdy for South Bay Los Osos, Christopher Anderson for member at large, Ron Reisner, member at large. For Jamie Irons, we have Gene Dowdy, South Bay, Lynn Meissen, Member-at-Large. Ron Reisner, Member-at-Large. Noah Smuckler. Jean Doughty, South Bay. Lynn Meissen, Member-at-Large. Ron Reisner, Member-at-Large. George Leake, Jean Doughty for South Bay. Christopher Anderson, Member-at-Large. Ron Reisner, Member-at-Large. Our results are Jean Doughty is the South Bay Los Osos member. Lynn Meissen is the member at large, and Ron Reisner is the member at large.
Thank you. With that, it concludes our interview session. Are there any closing remarks from our council? Nancy? Noah? Mm-hmm. No, we're all done. For the
We're going to take a 2-minute break.
Okay, AGP, we're back. Okay, thanks. Thanks for the short break, and thanks for all the applicants and the viewers at home. I think we've got one piece of business that's left, and that would be the scheduling for the two boards, the Planning Commission and the PWAP. So having some conversation with our staff, the indications were 30 days would be the most optimum. And so I think I'd make a motion that we renotice our Public Works Advisory Board and Planning Commission Board for a 30-day notice and bring it back at that time.
Second.
So a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Briefly discussion. We may be able to arrange to make that happen before a council meeting or a special time, depending.
Absolutely. We'll have that flexibility.
Great. Mm-hmm.
So that would close at what, on the 27th or 28th of February? Because there aren't 30 days in February, so I don't know. Today's the 30th. Well, today's the 30th of, yeah, so I'm thinking the 27th of February, is that right?
Well, maybe we don't need to get exactly that specific for now.
It would be better if we had closed it the 25th, then that was the city council meeting.
We can look for a 30-day time period and look to have staff help us with it coincide with a council meeting, prior to a council meeting. I think that we can leave us flexible with that, and we'll hit a 30-day time period, plus or minus. We're not locked into. So we have a motion and a second for 30 days. I guess I would like to amend my motion so we have flexibility with that 30 days, and so we'd be able to coincide with a planning commission, or excuse me, a city council meeting. So I'd amend my original motion. So we're looking for approximately 30 days, but we'd come back to coincide the interviews with a council, city council meeting.
Well, truth be told, the 30-day notice is almost irrelevant, because then they'll have the deadline. Then I'll have to let them know when the interviews are going to be. Then we have to actually have the interviews. So it'll be 30 days. My guess is if we put it out there for 3 or 4 weeks, it'll be March 11th if we want it at a council meeting.
Perfect. So then we solved the calendar issue. We can just do it for 30 days, and we'll coordinate the time after that 30 day to bring it to council.
The only problem, excuse me, but the only problem with the 11th council meeting is that on my calendar, at least, I have goal review. So we already have something has to be done that day.
Well, we can still stick to the 30 day period and then figure out, availability for council.
Oh, and a lot of it will be based on how many applications we get.
Yes.
Okay.
So true.
All right. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. And with that, we conclude our business, and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.